Welcome to Film Forums. I'm Richard Williams, the creator of this platform, a place dedicated to the filmmaking community. We interview members of the film industry to find out what it really takes to make a movie, bring a script to screen, or secure that acting role. If that sounds good to you, please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favorite podcasting platform so you can be the first to know when an episode drops.
Beautiful girl, my brother.
This beckon work. I have a connection to some money-making after hours.
Hi there, welcome to Film Forums. My name is Aisha Jbeli and I have with me Lauren McCann. Would you like to introduce yourself for me, Lauren?
Yes, so my name is Lauren McCann. Right now I'm in New York, New York, and I'm the writer, director, and I play one of the leads in the pilot Girl Boxer.
So did you do acting as your main career before you decided to make this film?
Not at all. I was a kindergarten teacher. And I taught early childhood education. I actually have a PhD in education. And so I'm Canadian. And when we came to the United States, my husband is from Poland. His visa didn't pass to me. So I wasn't able to work, even though I'm very qualified to teach. So I used to be an actor in Canada. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe this is something I can do again. So I started. I couldn't work, so I needed to have some kind of creative outlet, and I started doing acting classes again and realized that this was something I loved and I think I'm pretty good at. So it just started from there, and once I got my green card, I got an agent in a day. And
wow, a day.
Literally, I was at a photographer's studio getting some headshots, and she said, I think you're great. Do you have an agent? No. She said, call my friend. And I called. I literally like went to the office that day because I had a babysitter already planned out. Like, I'll go meet your agent right now. I still have my hair and my makeup done from the photo shoot for my headshots. And he says, I think you're a whippersnapper. You're great. I'll sign you. And I got a legit agent in New York City in a day.
That is amazing. Like, yeah, literally I've had to fight long and hard to get one. I just got one the other day.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's tiny bit jealous over here.
It's just so weird. Like, I have to really do my research on them. Like, is this real? Because these things don't really happen.
Did you do quite a few parts in New York before you decided to make Girl Boxer?
A few. I really decided to take acting seriously, I would say 3 years ago. But in that, during that time, I had a second child. So I did quite a lot of indie films, which is really cool. And being able to do that allows you to meet the people sort of in the indie film community, which helped me cast Girl Boxer. And now people know me a little bit more. And instead of even auditioning for a lot of indie projects, I just get, hey, Lauren, you know, you want to come do this project? I'm there.
Yeah. I mean, it's good because they already know what you can do. And that's the really good thing about networking through filmmaking, because you do get called back, you know, and you get recommended for other projects and things like that. So it's great to start making those connections. I also do quite a lot of indie and I love it.
You meet good people. People are there a lot of the time for the project. If you're not necessarily getting paid a lot, you're there by choice, by want, not necessarily just for a paycheck.
Back in Canada, when you did some acting and things like that, were you also writing and directing back then, or is this your first venture?
This is my first venture. This is the first. I had the idea going in my mind for quite a long time, but I never took the time to actually write it down. And I think back and I wonder why. And the answer was I didn't know how it was going to end. I didn't have all the answers. Yeah. And I had a moment where I kind of allowed myself to not know and to not have the answers and to just write. And my son was very young at the time, maybe like 3 or 4 months. So he was napping twice a day for an hour and a half each. And that's the time that I had. So I literally sat down in that hour and a half and just let it all kind of come out. And that's how I did a first draft.
Fantastic. So did you have some people, you know, that looked over it for you and things like that? Some people that, you know, were already in the industry and maybe, you know, you trusted.
Yeah. I mean, I've been very fortunate. I've had a lot of people kind of in my corner helping me through this. A man named Jordan Ansell, if you want to check him out, he's a kind of a life coach, but he is also in sort of the film industry as a producer, a director himself. He used to be an actor. He's involved with, you know, higher media education. And yeah, he's always sort of just supported me and looked at the work that I've done, and we've had dialogues about it.
So what actually inspired this story? Because I love it. Like, for me, I mean, I know Richard kind of touched on it with you. I come from a kind of fighter's background as well. Not boxing. I did kickboxing, Tansudo, and then MMA. So I have like a huge appreciation for anything in the physical arts, to be honest. So
nice.
But also from a writing perspective, like the story is just captivating. And at the end, I was screaming, like, where's the rest?
Like, well, that's what I want people.
Tell me this is a teaser for a feature. Like, I need to see a feature.
Well, so the idea is this is really a proof of concept for more. I've planned out 8 episode season for a series, but I'm not now thinking of, just because I just love these characters so much and I love the story so much, of also just writing out the feature, if not for me, maybe possibly for somebody else. So yes, there is a lot more.
I'm so glad to hear that, genuinely, because I was like, this can't be it. Like, I'm not done. So
it gets good. Yeah. I mean, the reason why I really put the story together was, as an actor, I was always going in to play these roles that were very self-submitting, as you would probably on your side too. Yeah. I'm a mother, I'm a kindergarten teacher, so those are the roles that I would put myself in for, because you know what, they're so easy, I don't even have to think. But then I had somebody in casting say to me, you don't look like a soccer mom. You know, you look like you could cause some damage if you really need to. And I've come to sort of own that and learn the art of stillness and intensity. What kind of roles could I bring these two aspects of myself to? This, you know, really grounded, loving mother, but also this real fighter. Everybody has that little part in them. When would you kill somebody? Well, if you really did screw with my kids, it's out of love. And I always go to these evil characters out of love. And that's a theme throughout this whole thing. How far are you willing to go? Mm-hmm. If it's for love, is it okay?
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. Tell us about your fighting history.
Well, it really started probably when I was about 7. My father is obsessed with fighting movies. And when I was about 7, he sat me down to watch Rocky with him. Like, this is going to be our movie. And it really started with that. I love fighting movies. And then I went to Thailand. God, I'm aging myself. That was maybe about 15 years ago now. And I went and watched real Muay Thai, not the tourist stuff that they set up on the beach. Like, yeah. I was behind a cage, you know? And I just fell in love with it. I absolutely loved it. And then I saw sumo in Japan and I was obsessed with that too. And when we got back home, we ended up moving from Montreal then to Arizona, which is a whole other story. But I found myself in a place where I didn't really mix very well with the people that were there. I was writing my dissertation. It was quite a lonely thing and I needed to get out. So the closest thing to me was a gym, and it was a Joe's gym for $99 for the year. And it happened to be a boxing gym. I was one of the only women there and I was training 5 days a week. I was doing an hour of technical boxing training and an hour and a half conditioning 5 days a week. Wow. And
you must have been
I've never been in shape like that. But then I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. So I stopped. I was getting ready to actually get in the ring and do some fights. But I remember the doctor telling me at one point, you know, oh my gosh, you've gained so much weight with your baby. And I realized to her, you know, after I came to you after doing all of this training, I'd never been in this shape like that. I probably weighed the same that I did when I was like 14 or something. That once I stopped doing it, you know, I obviously wasn't as in shape after.
Well, having a baby completely can change your body. Like, I mean, when I saw you in the film, I couldn't believe you'd had 2 children. I was like, this is not the same person that I'm in. Like, you've definitely snapped back, that's for damn sure, you know.
Yeah, I laugh that I became a long distance runner because of my kids, and that has helped me stay in shape. Now I can't get to a boxing gym anymore. They just don't have babysitters. So
So you wanted to kind of combine those two things anyway, the technical fighting side of you and also your acting. Was there also part of it where you, like, you really wanted to create your own work?
Absolutely. Because those kind of roles don't come up too often, that you have this caring, loving badass, essentially. And I definitely wanted to play the role that I wanted to play and see the show that I would want to watch. I'm a huge Guy Ritchie fan, that sort of quick cerebral darkness to it. And you don't see too many women in those kind of roles or in those kind of movies. It's a boys' club a lot of the time.
Definitely. Too many damsels in distress, I think.
And exactly.
Yours is not that. And that's what I love. Because I know so many women like that, you know? Like, in reality, we know so many women like that, that, you know, if I'm in a club or something like that, if someone's annoying me, they soon know that they're annoying me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Just by the way that you carry yourself, you don't even need to do anything a lot of the time. So,
exactly.
Whereas I think in films, a lot of it is that, you know, that a man has to stand up and, you know, sort things out. And I think that it's really, really cool to see more roles popping up, you know, now as well that are like that. Because for me, like, that would be my dream. My favorite genre is action. One of my favorite hobbies is martial arts. So
I could, you know, totally see you being John Wick. I always see we need to have a Jane Wick. I don't know why.
Tiny, that's the thing. Like, I don't think that they, like, people don't see me as that, if you know what I mean, because I'm so small. Like, I'm 5'1". I'm tiny.
And that's her.
What I want is like that. Like, I want like assassin role, you know what I mean? Or like, you know, a real like badass role. That would be
right, really your own
one. Yeah, well, that's why I'm asking about it, because I found that so inspiring, you know, seeing you really act out your own work, which is really cool, you know.
Do it. And it doesn't even have to be long. Like, if, you know, if you're an actor, you could write yourself like a 2-page scene, and you could even, there are festivals that do micro shorts, and you could even apply those, you know, little clips into festivals and start getting your name around, start making those connections and doing some networking.
Talking of film festivals, that would be, you know, my next question. How did you approach your selection process for festivals? Like, how did you choose which ones you wanted to enter? And what was your success rate?
God, it's so difficult. I've come to learn that festivals are a whole other beast. if they had a specific category for pilots, mm-hmm. I did apply for that without really much question, because I've had a lot of people say it's not really a short. Like, it ends and you go, ah! And it doesn't summarize things for you. And because of that, it doesn't fit nicely into a short film box. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Series Fest, which is a whole festival, one of the largest ones in North America, at least, they call it the Sundance of television. It's a specific festival focusing on pilots. And that was on the top of my list, and I was accepted, which was amazing. And I was then offered a jury prize called The Voice to Watch, which is really neat. And it's so sad that everything is virtual. You know, last year, their closing ceremony, I think John Legend, or maybe it was the year before, Sia played. Like, I'm talking, this is huge.
Yeah, massive.
You absolutely don't know what each festival is looking for, what their programming, what their theme is for that year. I had one festival called Holy Shorts, which is a very good festival. They actually took the time to write me personally and say, your project is great, it just cannot fit in our programming now. And they offered me like a critique and what they liked about the project. And people don't necessarily do that very often. So that was a treat to hear directly from them. So it's strange. Like, I get an award at one of the larger festivals out there, but then, you know, the little Brooklyn Festival doesn't accept the project. You know, sometimes it's not to take it personally. It's just like going to auditions. My eyes were the wrong color. Maybe it was 2 minutes too long because it can't fit it in the block that they want.
Yeah. Film festivals seem to be a bit of a minefield, definitely. So it's something that I'm looking to focus on, you know, in these interviews, is to find out really how it's gone for filmmakers that have been accepted.
And it's just too bad with all this virtual stuff. I've never really had a festival run, so this is all I know. People ask, how has this year been different than previous years? I don't know. This is all I know are these virtual cocktail parties, which is just the strangest thing. I throw the kids in front of the TV and I drink a glass of wine with random strangers looking at their faces. It's just not the same.
Are you serious? That's what's been happening. That is so funny.
Yeah.
So it's basically like a video call like this one, but with champagne or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. That's cool. That's good to know. But less of a party when it's in your own home, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Which festival were you accepted into?
Recently, it's actually been really quite busy. The Soho International Festival, Chelsea International Festival, just finished. And those are kind of local New York festivals. It'll be playing online. And the good thing about online streaming, I guess, is that you don't necessarily have to be in that corner of the world to watch it anymore. It's available to anybody and everybody.
I think some of them have been doing addresses as well via video conferencing and things like that. So it also means that you don't have to physically go there as the filmmaker, right, but still contribute something, you know. That's really interesting anyway to hear about that. So what would your advice be to someone who had just made a short film and they weren't sure what to do with it? What would you say would be the next steps?
Definitely do your research as far as, you know, choosing festivals. For me, I wanted to choose festivals that were reputable. Mm-hmm. There are so many festivals, so many, that it could be daunting and it could be expensive. Yeah. So you want to go for the ones that have a track record, you know, that have been around for 10 years, 15 years. And then talk to the people. For me, it's, you know, the indie film community here, and which festivals have you been on that have been, you know, successful. It's hard when you look at reviews because everybody's going to write a good review. Yeah. They don't want to be blacklisted. They don't want to be that one person who's, oh, you know, we're not going to invite Lauren again. She said something wrong about our program. So really just word of mouth. And then some of the festivals are qualifiers for, you know, major awards. Those are a whole other level, but those are obviously good ones.
I noticed also, because I've been on Film Freeway quite a lot recently, because I wrote a script and I've been entering it into film festivals as well.
Yeah.
as a micro short script. But I've noticed there's a huge price difference as well with festivals in the US versus, for example, the UK. You know, I don't know if you noticed that as well, or even other parts of the world as well. Like, I think America, even if it's a smaller festival or a new festival, it's still like $50-$60 and things. And I'm like, whoa, you know, your take on budgeting during the submission process?
Well, that exactly. Set yourself, and that's what we did. Mm-hmm. I set myself a budget. And yeah. You know, if you enter one more festival, like, it's not really going to make that much of a difference unless, it's Sundance, or I'm not too sure. But even at that, I think Sundance is like $80 or something. And make sure that you read the outlines. Like, you can submit to anything, even if you don't qualify. So they'll take your project, they'll take your money. And then you realize, oh, damn, like, yeah, it already played at this festival, so it couldn't qualify for that one, and I'm already out my submission fee. It's a question of really doing your homework and finding out the kind of stuff that they like and the niche that they have. You know, my film is really edgy, so mm-hmm. there's a lot of festivals that aren't into that kind of thing. Like, they're mm-hmm. more of a comedy-based film festival. I would never apply to that.
Did you use any of the Film Freeway advertising opportunities or anything like that, you know, where you sometimes get sent discounts and things? Or
no, I didn't. Have you tried that? Does it?
It works, definitely. Yeah. This was for another project that I was helping out with. I was just helping them with the submission process and things like that. And if you sign up for the Gold membership, which is...
Oh, that.
Yeah. Yes. But yes, then you also get 50%. But if you're a Gold member, you get 50% off of all of their advertising opportunities. And if you select those, then different film festivals see you on their dashboard, and then they can invite you.
Offer you discounts. Yeah, so, I do get discount codes.
So there was quite a lot of offer, it was like ridiculous. It was like over 100, but partly I think it's to get people to enter because some money is better than no money as well, you know what I mean? So it was a lot of new festivals, you know, that maybe it was their first year running or something like that, you know. So even then we had to be quite careful over which ones we chose.
Sure. You know? And then there's the whole thing of, you know, the festivals that just have a yearly festival, and then there's some that are online festivals that are monthly.
Did you go for any monthly ones? That's not something you really went for.
I think I did one or two. No, it wasn't the top of my list, that's for sure.
Yeah I think we did one and that was all really, but yeah, that's interesting anyway, just to see kind of what other people's take is on that side of things, you know, the different types of festivals.
I had bought all these great vintage like 80s prom dresses that I was gonna plan on wearing. I'm a huge thrift shopper, and whenever I find one I'm like, ah! I'm keeping them though because I will be wearing them at some point in this life.
Would you not be able to still submit next year, or do you think that's it, you're done?
I don't know, we'll see. I, in my mind, I think it's run its course almost. I'm gonna spend that time then after the whole run really focusing on putting it in the hands of some people who could do more with it than, you know, I'd be able to. I'd love to sell it to a network. That's that was my goal.
And are you working on any other writing at the moment?
I've started something, but it's very hard with two kids, and this is one of the first times I actually have a babysitter, and you know, I don't necessarily want them playing inside because of the situation in the world, so they go out to the big yard, even though it's the yard being Central Park. I really don't have too much time to write. But I've started working on another kind of vigilante styled women coming back and saving the world kind of thing. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Right.
Again, very dark and, you know, dystopia kind of.
Cool. So would you say that your brand is quite, you know, feisty women based, you know what I mean?
I like the dark stuff. And I'm a fan of a lot of stillness and not so much dialogue. Like when you choose not to say something and you can have a comfortable moment with somebody, you don't need to. Like there's so many films that I see it, and a lot of the times I find that the dialogue is written for the sake of the audience, like kind of just giving information to help the story along so that the audience can understand. But in reality, like, there is no audience. So why would you come up to your brother and say, "Oh, my brother, how are you?" I mean, you might, but you know, if I see my brother, I'm not going to call him my brother.
No, it's about showing rather than telling, you know, there are ways that's it. Show those relationships without explicitly saying what they are, you know. So in terms of budget for your film, how did you go about raising a budget? Was it something that you completely self-funded, or did you go to people?
No, so I never want to do fundraising again. I don't know if you have this on your phone where it tells you how much your screen time has gone up. It was something like your screen time has gone up 98%. So I did a whole campaign through Indiegogo, and we managed to raise like $18,000. I'm not somebody who likes to ask for things from people. I've always kind of grown up being taught like, you want something, you gotta work hard, you gotta do it yourself kind of thing. But then I had someone tell me, if you're not gonna do it, other people are, and their projects will be funded. So you have to do it. So I did it. And then with that too, even on top of that, because you forget about things like entering into festivals. It just all costs. And then post-production, you have extra, like burning CDs and like it's just all extra. So in the United States, we get tax returns. So we used our tax return dollars and personally funded, you know, another $10,000. My family is in Canada. My husband's family is in Poland. And we spoke to our families and we said, look, we're not going to Canada or Poland this year. You know, a family of four to fly to Warsaw is a good chunk of cash. And so instead of doing that, they would maybe come visit us, and we use that money towards the film. I didn't want to, you know, pinch on the budget. I wanted to pay my actors. I don't know if you're the same. Like, I end up spending money on it because I'm hiring babysitters. I mean, that's my life, but I didn't want that to happen. And I wanted everyone to be professional and considered professional and
paid. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's very hard for indie filmmakers a lot of the time to pay actors. And it's a shame because, you know, sometimes either the actor suffers or the caliber of the film suffers, you know. Things like people don't take it seriously, so you'll have people walk out or quit much easier, and you know, can cause more problems. I've been on all kinds of messy situations with unpaid productions, you know, like back in the beginning. And I just think that things are always much smoother when you're paying people what they should be paid, you know. So it's great to hear that you made sure that you did that, you know.
I definitely wanted to, and instead of having pizza, like, I would make a crock pot. Feed everybody some home cooking.
Good. Yeah, I mean, it's, as long as you're feeding them, that's the thing, you know. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather have like a crock pot of food than a pizza anyway, personally. But yeah,
I love pizza, but you know, there's so much pizza you can give.
In terms of your, so you crowdfunded the majority of your budget, and then you also added on for all of the post-production and everything like that. And what about marketing? Because obviously with crowdfunding, you'll have developed some, you know, audience there anyway. You know, if you raised $18,000, then that is one of the side benefits, I think, of crowdfunding, because you have an audience before you even make the film. So what else did you do in terms of marketing, and how did you keep up with people?
Just being constant and just always having a presence, and then always celebrating things that would come.
Last piece of advice, obviously, would be, what would you say to you know, mothers that are trying to balance being an actor or a writer or a director, anything in the creative industries, while still being, you know, a parent and obviously as a priority?
I mean, it's all about time management and drive. If you really, 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 really want to do it, it's, I mean, it's not easy. It's exhausting. I really, you know, when it came to the crowdfunding and all that, I would put the kids together, you know, get them to bed, and I would really only start the next shift, I would call it, at 9 o'clock at night. And then I would give myself till midnight, and that was it. And then I said, look, it's just, it's time to go to bed. And it's planning out your day. So like, ooh, baby's sleeping, I have an hour and a half right here, nap. Okay, let's pre-plan and do the work before. What am I going to do? What goal am I going to set? Like, I want to get, you know, to this part of the script if I can. And then just turning off your phone and just putting on the blinders and pow, like plowing through with absolute focus. That's the only way that I was able to do it. And not sleeping so much.